Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we praise you and thank you for the opportunity we had this evening, Father, to open in song to you. Father, we thank you for our youth and their talents and their abilities and their willingness to lead in that way. Father, we come tonight and we are thankful for answered prayer on behalf of Miss Robbie. Father, we thank you that Miss Epps is feeling better. We do pray that you would continue to be with Robbie as she needs more procedures, and Father, help her to continue to heal from the surgery that she's had. Father, we pray you would continue to be with Pastor Carrie and those who are caring for her and taking care of her. Give them strength. Father, we do pray for those, the Prestons and others who have COVID. And Father, we pray that you would bring healing to their bodies during this time. Father, help them to recover from this virus. And Lord, we pray for others that we have mentioned this past week that are on our prayer list. And Father, we just pray that by your Spirit you will minister to each one. Father, we pray tonight that you will be with us as we again open your word and look at what it has to say to us. Father, we pray that you would teach us and that you would, Father, bring understanding to our minds, and Father, that you would change our hearts, that you would convict us where we need to be convicted, Father, that we would be encouraged, that Lord, just your Spirit would speak through your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we are going to continue in the study that we began last time we met together last Wednesday night about the doctrine of union with Christ. And this is by Dr. Sinclair Ferguson. Last time we met, we looked at an introduction to this doctrine, and we saw the prominence of how often the phrase in Christ or in Christ Jesus or some variant of that is used in the New Testament. We especially looked at verses of Ephesians 1 and what it has to say there and all of those blessings that come to us through our union with Christ. We also talked about this idea of getting into Christ, and we looked at Paul's testimony, and we looked at the contrast in his thoughts and his perspective in Philippians 3 and where he found his identity. When he was outside of Christ, he describes himself as circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But then after his conversion and after being united to Christ, he goes on and he says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. It's an incredible change of identity and a change of perspective that we see there in Philippians chapter 3. Tonight we're going to begin by looking at the dimensions of our union with Christ. Or, in other words, how far does this go? How much ground does this cover as far as our union with him? And so as we begin this section, we want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. There Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so there again in 2 Corinthians 5, you see once again our phrase there, one small preposition and one great noun. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation and we are united to Him. And so when we look at the Christian life, we see how much of our lives this union affects. And in a word, it is everything. It affects everything. Everything about our lives. Dr. Ferguson actually uses the analogy of living in Scotland and living in the United States. He's a Scottish man, but he's lived in the United States for extended periods of time. And so he says that people often ask him, you know, what's different? What are the differences of living in Scotland versus the United States? And he said, my standard answer is everything is different. Everything's different. Even the most subtle things are affected by the location in which we live. And the same is true when we are united to Christ. Another illustration that he uses is one we find in Scripture. And that is of a husband and a wife joined together in marriage. And so he says, if you ask a man what he loves most about being married to his wife, he might say a lot of different things. He might say her beauty. He might say her cooking. He might say her companionship. And he says, but really, the sensible man will say that what he loves most is the fact that he is married to her. Because in being married to her, all of those other blessings and other dimensions of marriage, her beauty, her cooking, her companionship, all of those become his through the union they have together. So it's the same with the Christian life. All of the blessings of the Christian life come to us in Christ. Now, one of the points that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 6 shows us just how all-encompassing our union with Christ is. And it's almost a scandalous thing that he talks about here. He writes, starting in verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? In other words, you are united to Him. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. And so the point here is, as believers, all of our actions are done in Christ. Paul's saying here that it's not like you can separate yourself from Christ, leave Him over here, go into the brothel, come back out, and join yourself back to Him. Okay, we are always united to Christ. It doesn't work that way. We can't just unite and disunite from Him on a whim. Therefore, by our union with Christ, when, you know, if we were to visit the brothel as believers, then basically what he's saying is you're effectively bringing Christ into this action of fornication with you, which to us as believers should be unthinkable, right? Or to join members of Christ to a prostitute, or when you think about it, really any other sin for that matter. United to Him, this reality of our union to Jesus, of being one with Him, of being in Him, is great motivation we see here for us to live holy lives and to live lives of absolute faithfulness to Him. And so when we begin to look at our identity as being in Christ and we understand our lives as believers this way, then we realize just how big of a deal this is and how much it covers. And so we're going to see that our union with Christ, as the New Testament teaches us, is found, is grounded in three truths. Our union with Christ is grounded in three truths. First of all, our union with Christ is grounded in God's eternal purpose for us. Our union with Christ is grounded in God's eternal purpose for us. Last week we saw this in Ephesians 1, where it says there in verse 11 and 12, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory." So here we see that the grounds of our union with Christ is not primarily our faith in him. That is part of it, but it's not all of it. And it's not the primary part of it. And that's good news, because our faith fluctuates, our faith falters, but the purposes of God do not. And so therefore, it is a good thing that we are grounded in the purposes of God for us. Secondly, we see our union in Christ is grounded in Christ's incarnation. We read about this in Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 through 4. The scripture says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So God the Father sent forth his Son that he might take on flesh and through that be bond himself to sinners, so that he might do for us, and then that he might do in us what is necessary for our salvation. And thirdly, we see our union to Christ is grounded in us bonding ourselves to him in faith. And Dr. Ferguson here points out that the language used by Paul here is to describe this faith is very unique. It's not found in any other